You know, as this morning, as I was partaking of the Lord's Supper, and we read that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I was thinking about how God has written that we are to think about His sacrifice. And when we think about the great value of what Jesus has done, we need to recognize, guys, that this life does not last forever. And that when our life is over, we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so that is the whole purpose for Christ coming and dying on the cross. But then as I bring that into the context of the lesson, you know, we're looking at the humble beginnings that God brought Jesus into the world. You know, in our lifestyle, I don't think we really appreciate how Jesus came into this world and some of the struggles that He would have been accustomed to. And probably just part of life. The struggles that He went through and the struggles that His family went through as a result of this. And of course, I've been planning this lesson for some time in looking at Mary. I've done a lot of character studies over the years at different individuals, and honestly, I want to make this statement. I don't really like to call them character studies because in my twisted little mind, I think of a character such as Ronald McDonald or Donald Duck or something like that, and instead of a true individual. I want us to remember something. I may use that word because I think we use it freely in today's society, and it keeps coming back up in my terminology. But we need to understand something about the people that we read about in the Bible. They were people just like you and me. They lived lives. Like Jesus, they were born. They grew up and went through the struggles of learning how to obey the rules. And humbly submitting to the rules that were there and going through the ups and the downs and the problems and the difficulties of life. We need to recognize that all of these people we read about in the Bible were human beings that lived. They had emotions like you. They had hopes and aspirations and things they wanted to do and didn't want to do. And guys, Mary's the same. A couple weeks ago, I went to see my mother, and they brought out the pictures because my Marietta is trying to get rid of all the pictures. She's got a storage shed full of stuff. And so they brought all of the ones that had to do with me. It's kind of interesting. I went back and I saw my sweet little bride. And I thought about that. We don't really know how old Mary was, but she was that sweet little bride to Joseph. She was no different, guys. And as we look at some of the things that surround Mary and her life, I think that we will, number one, gain a respect for the struggles that she went through and what she did. Most importantly, I hope that we learn a little bit about you and me and the kind of life that we should have. I believe that as we study her, we will find some things that have to do with some things in life that we don't really stop to think about. But I think that it will help us to gain a respect for her and for Jesus. This is a time of year that the world comes together to think about Jesus. Somebody has decided that they would use this time of a year to celebrate His birth. And I'm so glad that they think about it at least once a year. I hope that as we study these things, it will give all of us a deeper respect and a desire to learn more about Him and put Him first every day of our life. Guys, Jesus was a true individual just like you and me and just like Mary. In the reading that Bob did just a couple minutes ago, we see the account in Matthew chapter 1 of some things that took place that I know would have been, it just seems like for part of it is just kind of a normal life. But in reality, we see that with Joseph and Mary, we had some angels that were speaking to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if an angel spoke to me, it would be quite an earth-shaking deal. And when you look at the enormity of the message and the consequences of the message that they were delivered, there's no doubt that it was an angel of God. And so in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, I want to notice something about Mary to begin with. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now, the Bible uses some terminology that is a little foreign to us today, but it is the terminology that God chose to use. And when it talks about them coming together, or not coming together, it says before they came together, that means that before they had any relations together. Mary was a virgin. She had never been with a man in an intimate way, and she was pure and undefiled. And as we look at this term, I think we don't really, I think, appreciate this term of what espoused is all about. Now, espoused or betrothed, and depending on the version that you use, espoused or betrothed is a term that it kind of relates to engagement, but it's a whole lot deeper than that. Because the espoused individual was one that was totally promised in marriage. They were totally married in that respect, where there was not going to be anybody else. And they were bound together, but they were not married. And so they would not have had any relations because they were not married. Now, I know that in the world we live in, that's not the way it's done. But that's God's way. And that's what God has designed. And so this woman, Mary, was espoused to Joseph to be his husband. And so, as we look at this, and we talked about this a little bit in Bible class, and I want to go and look at that a little bit in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It related with the verse that we were studying in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. And so we got a little prelude to that when we had the Bible class this morning. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, the Apostle Paul, talking to the Corinthian brethren. Now, the Corinthian brethren was the church at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul had gone to this city as a missionary, and he went out into the community and he taught people about Jesus. When people heard the message about Jesus, they were baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and therefore they became saved. They became members of the Lord's church. And so, in this context, he puts it in this realm. He says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, as we look at that, we put together with that, and let me go ahead and add that now, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7, because it helps us to understand, I believe, the magnitude of the relationship that Mary and Joseph had. In Revelation 19 and verse 7, it says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And so when we look at this relationship, we recognize that Revelation 19 is talking about the judgment day. The judgment day is coming. And you and I are going to stand before Jesus on the judgment day. And that is the point at which we will be judged for the things that we've done in our body. Now, notice that the Apostle Paul said, I have espoused you to one husband. That husband is Jesus Christ. But the marriage hasn't taken place. You see, the Lord is the head of the church, just like the husband is the head of the wife. And as the bride of Jesus Christ, which is what the church is, we are espoused to Jesus. Now, I want us to keep in mind that being espoused to Jesus Christ, we need to keep ourselves in line with what He says, with what His will is and His desire. Mary, I'm convinced, was just in that case. She was submissive to Him even though they had not come together in marriage. But she was bound to Him. And she was also very careful to maintain her purity. And see, and this is where, as the church, we need to recognize that you and I are married to Jesus. We are espoused to Jesus. The marriage hadn't come. If we are bought with the blood of Christ, if we've been buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins, we have been espoused to Jesus. Our responsibility is to remain pure until the marriage takes place. Now, a lot of these things will fall into place as we look at the things that happened with Mary and Joseph. We recognize that in verse 18 of Matthew. Let me go back and catch that verse again. It says when as the mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, if an espoused woman is found to be with child, there's a problem. And as we study this through, we're going to realize that this followed her and haunted her through her whole life. Just put yourself in the place of the people that knew Mary. Okay? Young woman comes in and says, I'm pregnant. And what do you think? You've been messing around. You're not married. That followed her for the rest of her life. We'll find those scriptures, okay? So bear with me. So she was found to be pregnant. Now, keep in mind, she lived under the old law. Now, I'm glad we have forgiveness today. Isn't that neat? I love it. But I want us to go back and see what the old law required, because as we look at what the old law required, it's going to put the respect that we have for Mary. Can you imagine the angel come to her and she's a spouse. She's not married. Said, you're going to have a child. Oh, what do you mean I'm going to have a baby? I haven't had a husband. Said, it's going to be the Holy Ghost. She says, whatever you say. Now, look at Deuteronomy 22. Mary knew that. And this was the Old Testament law. And this was what was to take place. And when you look at what she recognized, she knew that law. And she knew the ramifications of that. She knew it was the angel that spoke to her. She had no doubt. And so in Deuteronomy 22, notice verses 20 and 21. We won't read the whole context, but you'll see what's going on. But if this thing be true, in other words, the tokens of her virginity, she is married and wasn't a virgin, okay? She be not found to be the damsel. Okay, and so here the context is, I won't go back and read it all, but the two got married, and the husband comes and says, she's not pure. And the father says, whoa, do I? Okay, well, they had to provide the proof that she was. Now, notice what happens when they can't come up with the proof. They say, bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and let the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put away evil from among you. And you're looking at, and you're thinking, Mary. Mary knew that passage. Guys, I really cannot fathom that she just says, whatever. Let it be. Can you imagine that? Now keep in mind, she also knew the prophecies. She knew that Jesus was to be born of a virgin. She knew that that he was to come, and she was looking for the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ that would come and redeem Israel. But you know what? We want a lot of good things, but we just don't want to be involved, right? We don't want to be involved in any of the pain that brings those things. But Mary was very willing. And so as we look at this, we recognize what struggles had to be going through Mary's mind. And I want to go to a passage in the New Testament because always, guys, I like to relate both the old and the new. And so I'm glad that we can come to God and we can make changes in our life and go forward. That is what's amazing about God. God, as you see Jesus working with people in the New Testament, he didn't look at their past. He said, let's do different. And that's the way we've got to look. As you look at the Corinthian church, and they had a messed up background. And they changed. And we can do that. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, we look at all of these things that God says are works of the flesh. And this is involved in it. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so notice that God wants us to be pure. Now, I love being a Christian because I can put my old way behind me. Go on. I don't even want to talk about it. It's over. When I was buried with Christ in baptism, the old's gone. In fact, it's gone so far that God doesn't even remember. Now, I've got a memory, and it bothers me. You know, we talked about that here a few weeks ago in Bible class. You know, I can't forget my past. And it's probably good that I can't forget my past because I'm determined to not let it happen again. I think of Christ and his sacrifice. I think of the sacrifices that Mary went through and the struggles that she went through so that Christ could come into this world and you and I could be forgiven of our sins. And I think, you know, I've got to go forward. And so I need the memory. But I'm thankful for the forgiveness. You know, I talk to people every day and they talk about their past and their problems and their struggles. And I say, look, don't worry about your past. Worry about your present and your future. Let's change your past and do different in the future. And that's what Jesus wants us to know. And he's simply saying that now, once we have our past washed away, we don't do that no more. We change. We live for God. I like the fruits of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23, which is the opposite. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are the wonderful things that as Christians we take on. And so at any rate, I want to follow Mary down a little bit further. I want to go to John chapter 8 and verse 41. Now, keep in mind, guys, that this is somewhere between 30 and 33 years later, okay? Jesus was born. He came into this world by a mother that was a virgin, supposedly, in the eyes of the religious world. Now, you know, it's a little different back then than it was now. They were extremely meticulous about keeping genealogical records. The Rhodes book is that thick. I never read it, and I'll never intend it. But Jesus' record was a lot more larger than that. They kept close records. They knew about Mary. They knew about the espousal, and they knew what they thought they knew, okay? Because she was different. I want us to note in verse 41. Now, Jesus, he's an adult. He's 30s, okay? That is a long time ago.
But notice what he's known for in verse 41. Jesus speaking to these Jewish people, he said, you do the deeds of your father. Now he's saying their father was Satan. All right, you have to read the context. But notice their response to Jesus. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. They never let Jesus forget it. You see, even though the prophecy said that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, will be born of a virgin, they still looked at him as the product of fornication. They never forgot it. And this hounded him till his dying day. I guarantee you, when he rose from the dead, there's a lot of people that looked a little differently at it. Don't you think? But he was hounded by that. And what do you think about Mary? I'll tell you what. It's not looked at the same today as it was 50 to 70 years ago. But it was really looked down on 50 to 70 years ago. So what do you think about living under a law where the one that was involved in that would be stoned? How do you think that was looked at? Mary lived with that, guys. Now, what is so amazing is she just says, whatever you say. Did you really stop and look at that? Stop and think about her willingness to do that. In fact, that brings up a question. When Jesus says something, what's your response? Oh, I don't want to do that. That ain't no fun. That's not the way I like to do it. But that's not what Mary did. Mary said, whatever you say, Lord. Whatever you say, let it be done unto your handmaid. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And so the angel's saying, you're going to have a baby. And she says, that's not possible. That's not possible. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now you just think about that for a minute. This whole thing came about by miraculous intervention of God. And this woman was willing to allow it to take place. She didn't go kicking and screaming. Maybe like you and I would if we're told to, you fill in the blank. And the New Testament tells us what to do. It tells us to live in a proper way. And when we live according to what God has said, it's going to bring about blessings. No wonder some of the statements were made about Mary. Even though she struggled, even though she had a life of problems and heartaches and of miseries that were coming in the future that would pierce her through, she said, whatever you say. It humbles me when I think of the things that I don't want to give in to the Lord. And I think about Mary and her willingness. What a wonderful example that she gave us. I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And I want to notice here that this is where that prophecy came from. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now what's interesting is that these Jews knew that passage. They searched that passage out. And as we looked last week, as we have these wise men that are coming from the east, and they go to Herod and say, we saw the Christ star in the east. And so where is he at? And so they call all the religious leaders, and they come together and they say, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They knew these verses. And they knew that Jesus was to be born of a virgin. And they're still calling Jesus born of fornication. That's amazing. Now, they at this point, they've already seen the miracles. Can you imagine watching somebody that had been born blind, no surgery, but Jesus just lays his hand on them, they see,
and then still not believe? Don't you think they would open their eyes and say, oh, this must be the Christ? But they didn't. They didn't want to see. They didn't recognize those things. Now the thing is, we don't know very much about Joseph. There's speculation about Joseph. And I want us to remember something. When we speculate, we don't have anything to back it up. Does that make sense? And if the Bible doesn't say, it's speculation. Okay? And so, the speculation about Joseph is the fact that later on in Jesus' ministry, you never hear a thing about Joseph. Where's stepdad at? Where'd he go? What happened to him? Well, we can speculate that he died. You know? The chances of him leaving are almost non-existent when you look at what this man did. Let's follow him along in verse 19, back in Matthew chapter 1. Because this man was truly an amazing man. Because remember, he lived under the same law that Mary lived under. It says in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away privately. He wasn't jumping up and down and say, I want skin. I'm mad. I want to see her stoned. I've been betrayed, and she's been running around on me, and I'm going to have her done in. He didn't do that. He was a just man. In his mind, at this point, he's recognizing that his espoused wife, in his mind, has been sleeping around on him. He's not going to be happy. He's a just man. And so what he does is, in the background, he's saying, how can I secretly put a stop to this and have her go away so that she's not stoned? Somebody like Mary deserves somebody like Joseph. Do you ever think about that? He cared about her. He loved her. And so whatever happened to Joseph, I will never believe that he left. I believe that he died. But it's speculation. The Bible doesn't say. We do know that he's not there when Jesus is in his earthly ministry. And so we recognize that her husband wanted to do the right thing. Have you ever been faced with tough challenges? You know, I remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, you know, some of the church in Corinth, the members of the church were having battles with one another. Okay? You owe me this, or you did this, and I'm going to sue you. I'm going to take you to court. And Paul's saying, don't. You let them defraud you before you do that. You let somebody in the church work out your troubles. We need to have that love for one another like Joseph had for me. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? You know? The church is the bride of Christ. The church is espoused to one husband. And so if we were to do harm to one of the family, we're really doing harm to ourselves, aren't we? And we're really doing harm to Jesus. Joseph was a just man.
I appreciate Joseph for what he has done. And so as we recognize, we've got some serious things going on. And a little bit later in John chapter 8, we see Jesus met with a kind of a situation where this woman had been taken in the act of adultery. She was caught, okay, red-handed. And so in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Here comes the religious leaders that believed he was born of fornication. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. Now, can you imagine? They've already got this idea about Jesus and where he came from. So they say, I'm going to get him. They say to him, Master. They didn't believe him to be the master. They say, this woman was taken in adultery. And then they hammer home the point. There's no doubt about it in the very act. Now, they say, Moses in the Old Testament law commanded us that they should be stoned. But what do you say? We read that law in Deuteronomy chapter 22. And this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't hear them. He was ignoring them. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her first. That would be humbling, wouldn't it? That would really shake us to the foundation, I think, if we were standing there. And if we were wanting to trap him, you know, a lot of times we want to get out of what Jesus says. They wanted to get out of what Jesus says. But Jesus throws it back in their face so kindly, so plainly, and so clearly. If you don't have any sin, throw the first one. Guys, to me, that's humbling because I sin. All of us do. We need to recognize that as we look out on one another and see others that make mistakes. Holier than thou attitude is not a holy attitude. Continuing, he again stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are your accusers? Hasn't anybody accused you? She said to him, No man, Lord. Watch what Jesus says. Neither do I condemn you. But he added something to it that's so important and so valuable for us to look at. He said, Go and don't sin anymore. Stop it. Just do the right thing. You know, Jesus offers that. Jesus isn't there to condemn us and put us down because we made a mistake. He's saying, Let's get up and change. Let's go forward and do different. And that's what we need to see. We need to recognize the joys that God brings and the opportunities. Mary put herself in a place to be stoned. She put herself in that position. Willingly. Guys, what does Jesus say that you don't like, that goes against the grain, that may cause you to be not as accepted by your friends, or your family, or your acquaintances? What is there that you don't want to do? I dare say none of you are in danger of being stoned. You just need to be like Mary and humbly submit yourself to the will of Jesus. You've got a good example. You've got the command that if you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to be a spouse to Jesus. You're going to have to keep your robes clean. You know what upsets me? So many people have no clue what the Bible says. I was kind of heartbroken this morning, and Dorothy and I got almost to the church building, and I had to turn around and go home and get my sermon. Forgot all the notes. Yours too, okay? Your sheet was at home. And we saw all the families getting together and forsaking the assembly of the Lord who died. Came into this life at such great cost and then died on the cross And that's all we could think about, all the way home and all the way back. You see, I'm glad that everybody thinks about Jesus at this time of year. But my prayer is that the message will begin to become theirs, and they'll understand what that means. To really love the Jesus that was laid in a manger requires that we submit to His will. And to submit to His will, we've got to know what it says. We've got to study and develop that relationship. We've got to learn what He expects so that we know what that relationship is. We've got to learn what He expects so we know how to keep our spiritual garments clean. But without the knowledge, we don't do it. We give Jesus the praise and ignore the assembling of the saints together to celebrate His birth. And I'm glad that they do, and I think that's good. But don't ignore what He says in the process of those things. My Jesus, He came to this world at a great cost to Himself. He lived this life and He died on the cross because you and I needed it. We had no hope without Him. He left His word to show us the way home. Can't change it. You can't add to it. You can't take anything away. He left what He wanted us to know. That's the path. He showed us that in order to take advantage of that salvation that He offers, that we need to read and study Romans 10:17 and gain a faith. That faith, guys, if you're not obedient, you don't have faith. The world around us has no clue what this Bible says. They don't know. If they did, they would do different, in my opinion. He teaches us that once we figure out what it is that He says, we change our life. Okay? Stop it. Stop it. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Get up and do different. Go and sin no more. Repent. Because if you don't, you'll perish in Luke 13 and verse 3. We must call Him Lord, the Son of God in Romans 10:17, recognizing that He is in charge. And then we need to be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. Romans 6, 2-4. Acts 2 and verse 38. It's all there. And then we rise up to walk in newness of life, spouse to Jesus as our husband, the one that we submit to and to give our life to. Are you submissive to Jesus? I hope so. And I pray that if there is a challenge, that you will change your heart and submit to what He says. If anybody this morning needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and sing.